good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:33, as he does every other Thursday at this time, J.R. Ratcliffe from the Journal Sentinel will be joining us to talk all things sports. I know Brewers are on top of his mind. We also have the Bucks draft is coming up, and then we're going to share some favorite Summerfest memories. But right now, we're very excited to be joined once again by Wisconsin's junior U.S. Senator. Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest. Good morning, Senator. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
We are wonderful. Very excited to have you here. So much going on. And I know we're going to, let's talk about the Stop Bad Mergers Act, Senator Baldwin.
Yes.
Where does this stem from? What would it do? And why is this bad?
So this first came to my attention when we heard the announcements that two large Energizer battery plants in Wisconsin were going to be closing. These were, one of them's in Fenimore, Wisconsin, the other's in Portage, Wisconsin. They employ hundreds of Wisconsinites, and they have for decades. But what happened back in 2018 was there was a merger or an acquisition by Energizer from a brand I think most Wisconsinites will recognize, Rayovac. These used to be Rayovac battery plants. And so Energizer acquired them, and that had to be scrutinized and approved by the Federal Trade Commission. But they did a really sloppy job. I have to say, this is my own opinion. It was done really quickly, whereas in other countries where they were scrutinizing the same merger, they were looking at it over a longer period of time. They were placing conditions on the merger. Not in this case, in the U.S. They quickly approved it with no conditions. And one of the things that the Federal Trade Commission is supposed to be looking at is the health of the competition. And so these mergers should not lead to more expensive batteries. In fact, they should perhaps lead to lower cost batteries,
right,
if there's good competition. But they never looked at the impact on jobs. And so what this bill, Stop Bad Mergers Act, does is it empowers the Federal Trade Commission to look retroactively at something they've approved in the past and look at, did it have the desired impact on the cost of the product for consumers? I mean, these are the lead consumer watchdogs, right? So,
right.
So we need them to be looking at that. But also, what impact did it have on workers and jobs? And so number one, this bill would permit the Federal Trade Commission to take a look backwards. But in future, it would also require that they analyze the impact of mergers and acquisitions on jobs, on workers. And during the process of scrutiny of a proposed merger, workers would have input, meaning they would be able to file documents and have their testimony heard about their view on how this merger or acquisition would impact the workforce.
That would be game changing, yeah, if workers were, yeah, able to weigh in on this, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely. There's so many decisions that are made in the corporate world where workers have little input, and yet it's the workers who lead to the success of the corporations. They're, you know, it's workers who make them profitable. And so, you know, I think about the board decisions to make stock buybacks or, you know, to acquire or merge and all those sort of things. There's usually not workers in the board, or, you know, workers represented on the board of directors.
Right.
So something, this bill doesn't address that per se. It just allows pathways for having input. But that's something we should be aware of.
If you're just joining us, U.S. Senator, Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is joining us, and we're talking about the Stop Bad Mergers Act, and it specifically relates to battery plants here in Wisconsin, and batteries have a long history in this state.
They do. They do. I mean, RailVac was around for many, many years. It is a time, you know, interestingly, where we should be putting more emphasis on battery manufacturing, especially as we look at a pivot on how we produce energy. The more we hope to rely on clean and renewable sources that are sometimes, you know, like solar, where you produce the energy during the day because you have to have the sunlight, but you need to store it so that it can be used in the evenings and night. We need to perfect that technology. And so these, of course, are small scale batteries. One of the plants is batteries for hearing aids. And the other is, I guess, standard alkaline batteries, the things we use in many of our gadgets and, sure, and devices. But there's no lack of demand for hearing aid batteries, right?
Right.
As our society ages. And so just the fact that these plants are closing, those jobs are being offshored, is so frustrating to me. But it's strengthening the hand of the Federal Trade Commission to be able to look at more factors when they're looking at approving or denying or placing conditions on a merger. I want to see them have the tools necessary to do the job right, and especially when so many workers are affected by their decisions.
I don't know this to be completely accurate, Senator Baldwin, but it does seem to me like when companies merge, it rarely works out well for the workers, because people become redundant and some of those jobs are recreated, and it just seems like a lot of people end up losing their, always works out pretty well for the company and the people in the boardroom, as you said, not necessarily so much for the ones who are working on the line.
Yes, absolutely. I think that what this bill will do is allow the Federal Trade Commission not only to consider future mergers and acquisitions, but take some lessons learned from things that they've approved in the past. How did that really work for workers? And what, right now we can speak about that anecdotally, but I'd like the Federal Trade Commission to have the resources they need to take a retrospective look at mergers and acquisitions that they've previously approved and say, how did it impact consumers? How did it impact workers? They'd have then more to rely on as they look at similar mergers and acquisitions in the future. And so, you know, this would move us from the anecdotal to facts, hard facts that they should have in their hands as they evaluate things in the future.
Interesting comment from David on the live stream. He says, I feel like this bill would involve a lot of looking at the Boeing McDonnell Douglas merger as well, given how things have turned out. And I didn't realize until last month that stock buybacks used to be illegal.
Oh, yes. So this is a very big passion of mine. in the early 1980s, the Securities and Exchange Commission made them permissible, stock buybacks. You know, the concern there and the reason they were illegal before was because it's inside, you know, it's like insider trading.
Yeah.
You know the information in your company, and then you announce a stock buyback, and it really feathers the nests of the corporate executives and others who are compensated in terms of stocks, et cetera. But it also takes that capital out of being able to be reinvested in the plant and in the workers. In R&D and all those other things that they could be doing with that. So since the time that the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, sort of opened that door up again, we have seen staggering sums of corporate profits being used for stock buybacks, as opposed to these other things that you could do with those profits. And in fact, some corporations have even gone into debt. They've borrowed money so that they can do stock buybacks. And that, you know, I think we should go back to the day that that they were considered, that they were limited. But in the meantime, one of the other proposals out there is to put a surcharge or a small tax on the stock buybacks to temper them at least a little bit. And frankly, I think we should look very seriously at that tool too.
Yeah, fewer stock buybacks and maybe more doors that stay closed on planes. It's just a thought. I know. I know it's wacky. Senator, we have about 3 minutes left. And just real briefly, with all of the division that we see across the country, when you talk to constituents as you travel across the state, which I know you do frequently, what are the things that people say they agree on? What do we get? What do we actually get along about?
Well, we all love Wisconsin, and I think about, you know, just what we were talking about. We have such a strong work ethic, and so the fight for good-paying jobs that support your family, that allow you to get ahead, to save some money, go on vacation, you know, with the kids in the summer, and so good-paying jobs and our work ethic. We agree on how beautiful our state is, and particularly the need to protect our state waters. We're on two Great Lakes. We're on the Mississippi River and St. Croix River on our west coast. We have these beautiful inland lakes and riverways, and protecting them, protecting our drinking water is a big emphasis that I hear no matter where I am, rural areas, urban areas, suburban areas. Our wellness. And investing in making sure that people can access the health care that they need to be well and thrive. And people want their rights and freedoms back. And I think that also crosses, in most parts, the divides that we have in our state, that whether you're Republican, independent, or Democrat, we have seen folks want women to have the right to control their own bodies and those freedoms to be able to get the health care they need without having to be near death in order to access the care they need.
See, there are things we can agree on, and there are things we can get done together. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, our junior senator from Wisconsin, thank you so very, very much for your time. Really appreciate
thank
it,
you.
Senator. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Thank you.
Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks again to U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin for joining us, talking about the Stop the Pact Act. And we had a couple comments that we didn't have a chance to get to when the senator was here. Tony Zimmerman on the live stream. Nothing helps workers like stock buybacks. Yeah. Uh-huh. And also, Tony, I remember hearing when taxes were higher, businesses would reinvest more in workers because they would rather invest in the company than get taxed on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stock buyback thing is twitchy.
Well, the whole, you know, Senator Baldwin mentioned the 80s, and that's when things sort of, there was a,
that was the greed is good era.
Yeah. And I watched, and I want to find this because I apologize for not being able to delve into it deeper, but there was one man who became CEO of a major, I'm sorry, I don't know the actual name of it, but he changed the culture of CEOs and the boardrooms from a, we are a company, these are our workers, we take care of them, pensions, good work means good output and great morale, to nope, they work for us, greed is good, we will squeeze them, if they don't like it,
get out,
we don't care, we can replace them. And I apologize for not knowing it exactly, but it was in the 80s when things got deregulated, when the politicians said, oh, the businesses are just a lot of money, so let's make the businesses work, let's make sure those guys can get their money.
But as Senator Baldwin pointed out, Once they allowed these stock buybacks to occur, a lot of companies stopped investing in safety in their own products. Mm. That is not good.
No, not at all. And as either you said it or Senator Baldwin said it, it's essentially insider trading.
Yes.
Which, you know, you and I would be arrested for immediately if I knew what insider trading could actually have had to do it. I mean, I could work a calculator, but don't ask me.
Don't ask me to insider trade. Exactly. It's essentially saying, you know, the stock's going to split. Buy it now before it splits so you can double your money or whatever.
Yeah. And agreed.
All right, we're going to move on. We only have a couple of minutes before the news, and then J.R. Radcliffe will be here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports. But this is in today's Journal Sentinel, listing USA Today's 10 Best Reader Choice Awards. And I think this is going to be contentious. A Wisconsin bakery has the best pie in the country, according to this article, and it is not in Osseo.
Then I don't want to know it.
I know, because you mentioned this, and Todd Alba mentioned this when we were in that area last week, that there's this bakery in Osseo that you love.
Norse's Nook.
Todd said the same thing, best pies in the world.
Make sure you have upper body strength when they hand you that pie, because you think you're getting like, oh, it's a nice pie. It's a 95-pound pie full of the greatest ingredients ever, and I don't care about that article. Norse's Nook for life!
Stockholm Pie and General Store. In Stockholm, Wisconsin, a small village in Pepin County near the Minnesota border, the top-ranked pie shop in the U.S. out of 10 ranked.
We're going on the road.
Just to do pies.
Right. Oh, my God.
Great Wisconsin Pies. Oh. The Great Wisconsin Pie Tour.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, bring your stretchy pants. We're doing research.
Stockholm Pie and General Store, right along the Mississippi River on Wisconsin's Great River Road between La Crosse and the Twin Cities. Stockholm has a population of 66.
Shut up. We were talking about this yesterday. We were looking at all those surrounding villages, cities, towns.
Little tiny.
And I was like, oh, 500 people. That's so quaint. 66?
66.
Oh, they're all up in each other's business.
Right?
Oh, my goodness.
In 2019, in a Journal Sentinel interview, one of the owners said workers at the shop start at 4 a.m. and typically offer between 15 to 20 pies a day.
That's it?
Pie and more pie is what we're known for. What sets us apart is that everything is made from scratch, one pie at a time. Every apple peeled by hand, not a commercial anything, just like the way Grandma used to make it.
Okay, so there are a lot of places in this country that offer great products, and I'm not trying to like down the coasts, but you go to like the LAs and the San Franciscos, New York's, Chicago's, and there are places that offer great food, and they kind of know it. Like they're like, oh, there's a line out the building. When we're done, we're done, and I'm gonna go like, you know, I'm a whatever. I have to imagine the people there. What was the name of the place again?
The Stockholm. I just lost it. Stockholm Pie and General Store.
I love that name too. I want a t-shirt.
In Stockholm.
I have to imagine they got the award and someone said like, well, what makes your pie so great? Like, because we make good pies. And then they go right back to me. There's no pretense. There's no attitude.
It's very Wisconsin.
We don't take that sort of, we don't take compliments. That's just us. And also like when someone's like, you're doing this thing, that's really great. They're like, we're making pies.
Calvin, tell us about your grandma's pie baking secret.
She used exclusively canned ingredients, like specifically apple pie filling you can get in the can or cherry.
Really?
God, well,
I don't know how often she would actually make apple pie. She might have just bought that from the store.
Okay.
But she would make me cherry pie because that's my favorite. And she would use canned cherry pie
filling. Well, my mother always used the canned cherries too, but not for apples. She would always pan peel all the apples and make it that way. And I've made apple pies too.
You know, Calvin doesn't talk a lot during the show. And I thought this was going to be a story of like, my grandmother would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and peel those apples herself.
That she grew herself.
And instead he's like, she used canned stuff. What a joke.
I'm not saying, they were, I love them.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you can buy a pre-made crust from the store and get some canned filling. And it will still be a pretty good pie.
Somewhere there's someone, like, their brain's melting going, nah, the kids don't appreciate anything these days.
Listener in Amory on WLAK. Amory. Stockholm Pie is well known in western Wisconsin. Hard to choose a winner between them and Norske's. You need to try them all.
I don't doubt it. Pie Tour.
Pie Tour.
Yeah.
On the road with Jane and Greg.
Oh,
and stretchy pants.
We're so going to get sick.
If you have a favorite pie place, you can always let us know. Share the love. Share
yes.
the goodness at 855-752-4842. Tom, real quickly, we only got about a minute left. Thank you for joining us, Tom. What do you want to say?
Yeah, Jane, real quick question. Something that's been bothering me for a little bit now. What is the difference between a Wisconsinite and a Sconny?
I would say nothing.
Well, I would say a Wisconsinite is someone who lives in Wisconsin. A Sconny is a fun name we give ourselves, and other people can't use it.
A Wisconsinite can call a fellow Wisconsinite a Sconny.
Yeah.
But no one else can.
No.
Is that a slur?
I don't think it's a slur. It's just a term of endearment, but it doesn't sound right. But if I say, hey, Jane's a Sconny. But if someone from Chicago calls you a Sconny, it's not going to feel good.
Apparently, those are the rules, Tom.
And we don't make them.
Okay, so basically Eric Hudby should be saying Wisconsinite or Sconny.
He's a Californian.
He can't use Sconny.
I would say he can't even use Wisconsinite.
We're being very harsh today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. One quick more text coming in about pies. Listening in Madison on WMDX, my partner and I have eaten at the Stockholm Pie Company, and it is the best. We have tried many. We were shocked that this place truly has the best pie. So check it out. All right. Thank you so much. News is next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Next, come on. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment there as well on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon continues to ruin on a daily basis. Joining us as he does every other Thursday at this time, he is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe is here. Hey, J.R., how are you?
Hey, I'm good. I thought we were going to be at Summerfest today. What happened?
The weather is not necessarily cooperating, although that is not going to stop the festers. They're yes, going to be down there
the
anyway.
The festers.
We have tents, though. We could have made that work.
Oh, absolutely. It's so much nicer now than it used to be, where you can actually find places to get out of the rain. Because I was back there in some of the earlier days. Back in the days.
Tell me more about the early days of Summerfest, Auntie.
You would have to squish yourself into whatever bar was there, then that little overhang was all that you had to protect you from the pouring downpours. So things have changed. We're going to get to your favorite Summerfest. We're going to go around the table and share favorite Summerfest memories in just a little bit, JR. But let's start with the Brewers.
Yeah, they had a nice start to the week out in Anaheim. They're playing the Angels. They're moving on now to a 4-game series with the Padres. Really good night on Wednesday, because Freddy Peralta, who has been struggling, he is their best pitcher in the starting rotation. I think at this point that is a little arguable because he has struggled this year, but he is the guy that they look at as the number one starter, and he had a really nice night. The Brewers won 2-0 on Wednesday. Just a really nice sigh of relief to see Freddy Peralta perform at that level. It's been up and down, and when he has actually pitched well, the offense hasn't done a lot for him. Last night was another case in point, but it was just enough, and the Brewers end up getting the shutout. They survive on Tuesday night, 6-3. That was a game they were dominating. Actually, I thought that was going to be a shutout as well going into the ninth, because it was 6-0. And then not only did the Angels score three, but it took a home-run-saving catch by Sal Frelick to prevent that game from getting tied. So fortunate, I think they are to come away with the series win, but they just keep parading on. 14 over .500 now. That's as good as they've been all year. This is the new high watermark for them. They are continuing to do well.
Greg is very excited.
Very excited. You know, that Sal Frelick catch, I'll mention it momentarily, but I tweeted, I said, Willie would have been proud. We lost Willie Mays that day, and he's known for great catches, and that was a great catch. And I love the celebration afterwards, too. It was just wonderful to watch.
Yeah. It was really, it was a really cool moment. The Brewers had something like that at the in 2019, the start to the season, first game of the year against the Cardinals at American Family Field. Lorenzo Cain went up and saved a ball from going out that would have tied the game against the Cardinals. Brewers won that game 4-3, I believe. So a little bit of shades of that. And, and you know, Frelich was in center. It's been Blake Perkins, who is so good defensively, threw a guy out on Sunday to preserve a win. They've had so many nail biters lately.
Yeah.
But this was Frelich, and he was able to get up and catch that ball. And definitely a good moment. Frelich's been struggling this year, so it was nice for him to have. He's had a couple good days in a row. It was nice for him to have that moment.
I was at that game in 2019. I saw that catch, and they made a T-shirt after that just said, "Not today." And it was it was Lokane catching the ball like in silhouette. It was beautiful. So, yeah, that was a wonderful – I love Lorenzo Cain. So
yeah, the Brewers Twitter account latched onto that. They immediately after Frelich makes that catch, "No way, not today," in all bold letters.
Yep.
Very much reminiscent of the Lorenzo Cain magic that he was able to work in center field. So defense has been the name of the game for the Brewers. They are surviving because of their defense. It is so, so good. And it saved the day. It saved the day a couple times now in the last week or so.
Yeah.
A little off to the side here, but I'm hearing these rumblings now about Chicago is now no longer happy with Craig Counsell.
Oh, they haven't been for a while.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't think it's as bad as maybe we'd like it to be. It's not terrible. It's just, things have not gone well. I mean, the Cubs are several games under 500. The Brewers are now 7.5 up in the division, and it's the Cardinals who are next in line, and it's pretty muddled at that point. The four teams below the Brewers are kind of all within a game of each other. They're all kind of jockeying back and forth. But the Cubs, I'm sure, thought if they were going to spend more money on a manager than ever before, they were going to get a guy who could lead that, you know, like be that difference maker. And instead, the Cubs have lost a ton of one-run games, which is Craig Counsell's specialty. They did nothing but win one-run games. He was the best one-run manager in baseball history percentage-wise coming out of Milwaukee, and the Cubs haven't been able to replicate that. Now, the Cubs need to, like, you know, they need to give him more players. That would be nice for them. Good for the Brewers that they have not, because the Cubs have been bad. I don't think... I mean, they have to be patient with Counsell. It's not going to be, you're not going to solve anything.
Seriously.
Yeah. They need, he's had teams with the Brewers too that were just okay in June, and then they really hit the ground running. September was famously Craig Counsell's month for a while there. Now, the rules have changed. I don't know if that's really, maybe if that was more of luck, maybe a little bit, but he's a big picture guy. And so 3 months is not the big picture. So they have to be a little patient. But yeah, the Brewers just hate to see it. They just hate to see it all falling apart. What a shame.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking.
You know, I didn't like seeing Craig Counsell leave, and it really hurt me that he went to the Cubs. But I do not join in the schadenfreude of other Brewers fans because two reasons. One, if he has a bum year this year, it's his first year with a team, and they're going to get used to each other, and they're going to work. I don't think Craig Counsell is going to be a failure of a manager for the Cubs in his career there. And also, it, you know, it can easily turn and we can become the problem and we can, you know, it's, and also, and it just doesn't, it sucks. And I don't mind seeing the Cubs lose, but I certainly am like, ha, 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 take that, Craig Counsell. How dare you leave us?
Yeah. They've made out. Okay. Obviously Pat Murphy is having as good a start, you know, the second best start, I think, in of any new manager in franchise history behind Harvey Keene, who took over a team in, that was floundering in 1982 and just led them to the World Series. So this has been a really unexpected start, and things are going well. I was so wrong about this Brewers team. I thought they were 500 or below, and I just, it's going to take some gymnastics to fall from grace at this point. They really have put themselves in a good spot.
Oh, challenge accepted, buddy. You know how that goes. I mean,
I lived through the year 2014, the 10-year anniversary of a team that was 19 games above 500 at the end of June and ended up finishing 82-80 and just torpedoed out. Until we get past the end of June, I'm always going to be thinking about 2014. So maybe I'm just reserving judgment for a couple more weeks.
Fair enough. Fair enough. If you're just joining us, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe is here to talk all things sports. Tell us about the piece you did on Willie Mays, J.R.
Yeah, obviously Willie Mays passing away a couple days ago is a big national story. It's a huge story in baseball. He was the oldest living Hall of Famer, 93 years old, very much in the conversation of greatest baseball player who ever lived. Mm-hmm. Tremendous in all aspects. And he actually did something at County Stadium that's only been done a handful of times in baseball history, and that's hit 4 home runs in a game. This was in 1961.
Wow.
It started out really slow. He'd only had like couple homers, 6 RBIs, I think, to the first 2 weeks of the season. And he comes and he's facing the Milwaukee Braves. Lou Burdette, who's one of their main pitchers, you know, he just caught fire. The Giants, San Francisco Giants, hit 8 home runs that day, 4 of them by Willie Mays. He hit one in the 8th to make it number 4, and actually he was on deck. He could have almost had another one. Didn't look like he was going to play that day. He had food poisoning from the night before, and it wasn't clear that he was going to even be available, but he took batting practice, felt okay, and then felt really okay by the end of the game. So, you know, one of those lopsided, it was a lopsided game. Giants crushed the Braves that day, but that hardly mattered. You know, it was more about the history component of it. It's only happened 18 times in big league history.
Wow.
Mays was number 9 at the time, and there's some like in the 1800s, which I don't know. I don't even know how much we count. You know, did they have fences? You know, they did, but it always gets a little dicey pre-1900s. So it was a really rare feat. The Brewers allowed 4 home runs in a game back in 2002 with Sean Green of the Dodgers at the time. So, like, you know, they've seen it recently as well, but it was still a very cool moment. And I got a couple emails from people that were there or remember it.
Oh, neat.
Nice.
You know, that's a really cool memory for them, obviously. And to see Willie Mays in all his greatness is something that obviously not a lot of us can claim we saw. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's absolutely very cool. Hard to believe the Olympics are coming up.
They are, yes. You know, and not a ton of Milwaukee or Wisconsin representation in general, but there's obviously some. You're still waiting to see how Kenny Bednarik, if he ends up going back after winning the silver medal in track and field in the 200 last year. I know, like, Alicia Monson, one of the distance runners who's from Amory, University of Wisconsin, she's hurt. She's not going to be there. Molly Seidel, who did really well in the marathon, that was kind of one of the cool stories of the year, last Olympic cycle. She's not going to be there, So it isn't as chock full as we would normally get. We got a couple rowers. The University of Wisconsin has a really good rowing program, so you always see a couple rowers make it through. A couple wrestlers who have some Wisconsin ties that are going to be competing as well this year. We don't have the full list. There's still some trials going on. You know, track and field, swimming, things like that aren't quite complete. But if nothing else, you've got Tyrese Halliburton. We might not like him as Bucks fans after the Pacers eliminated Milwaukee, but the Oshkosh native, he's going to go to the Olympics as well, along with Drew Holiday. They're going to be playing, looking to repeat as gold medalists after Holiday and Middleton were on that team 3 years ago. So it's exciting, you know, kind of keeping an eye on. There's a fencer we wrote about at JS Online. You know, they're trying to keep an eye on all of the various connections as we get closer to people leaving for Paris.
Do we have anybody in the breakdancing competition?
No, I'm Rats. Sad to say no. There's only a couple Americans in general who are in the, they call it breaking. And I remember I was going through the sports like, what, breaking?
I'm sorry, I have to stop you both here. You're not kidding?
No.
What?
This is not a joke. No.
Oh, breakdancing. It's an Olympic sport, Greg Bach.
Oh, yeah.
And there's still hope for you. If you want to get going and through this, make this your career goal, let's do it.
A whole new career for you, Greg.
JR, I barely get up in the morning. My knees don't pop like 30 ways to Sunday. I'm not going to try to break dance now. I'm going to sound real, real old right now and be like, that ain't a sport. Sorry. It's an activity. It's fun. I'm
They're
sure people like
talented.
It.
They're very talented.
But yeah. An Olympic sport, it does not meet criteria for me. But
all right, then.
Address your comments to Calvin.
Yes, any complaints, always go to Calvin at sweetcalby@civicmedia.us. Good luck. All right.
There are a few sports that cross. You know, archery is one that's been there forever, and people probably feel that way about archery, too. I don't know, but it's different. It's going to take some getting used to, for sure.
All right. We have about 3 minutes left. Favorite Summerfest memories. JR, what's one of yours?
You know, Summerfest is just such a part of my life. I can't point to a specific concert. But, I mean, I've had many stages. I'm in the old man stage where I just want to go to a 4 o'clock show and get out.
Yeah.
I went through the college and post-college phase where I had like 4 or 5 shows that I saw at 10 p.m. You know, like, oh, man, I got to get to all these different bands. And now my bands, again, they all play at 4 o'clock and have me out of there by 7. I remember my grandparents had a boat at McKinley Marina, and they would my dad would haul me all the way from the marina on foot to Summerfest. And I just remember being in agony, all the walking. I don't want to do it. I'm 7. I don't care about live music.
Right.
Even the food isn't that enticing for me to walk all this distance. So I remember being at the kids stage. Ronald McDonald, someone portraying Ronald McDonald, was there. And something about careers, I don't even know, but we needed a volunteer. And I remember him saying, I need a boy volunteer. So all the hands went up, but not me, not my hand. I walked right up on stage. And I remember Ronald McDonald looking at me and saying, that boy right there. And there I was on stage, my live on stage debut at Summerfest.
And a star is born.
What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a sports guru.
Yes.
Greg Bach, quickly, a favorite sport, a favorite Summerfest memory.
Went to go see the Flaming Lips some many years ago, and the Flaming Lips are a band about peace, love, joy, and happiness and togetherness. Almost got into a fist fight with somebody over a seat. I didn't start the fist fight, but I darn well would have finished it.
All right. Angie from Monroe has been very, very patient. Angie, do you have a famous summer favorite Summerfest memory?
Yeah, mine is I got to meet Seven Dust. Ended up being right up front, and I got to meet everybody in Seven Dust. I hung out a little bit afterwards, and out of all the shows, I finally got to meet them, and that is one of my best memories ever. And now they actually recognize me at a
That's great.
That is cool.
Thank you for that.
That is really cool. And thank you for waiting so long, Angie, and for listening. Really, really appreciate it.
I love LeJean. I love Seven Dust. That's one of my bands. That's one of the bands I saw when I was in post-college. LeJean, amazing vocalist.
That's cool. Calvin?
This is going to get some gasps. I've only been to Summerfest one time. I saw a show when I was 18, I think, with my friend and his now wife. So I guess that was kind of cool.
That's cool.
But yeah, my the thing that sticks out to me the most is just drunk high schoolers humping each other is my memory of Summerfest that sticks in my brain.
All right then, resident young person checking in. J.R. Radcliffe joins us every other Thursday at this time. You can read him in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you so much, J.R. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Have fun at the fest. See
Absolutely.
You guys.
Stay with us when we return. Brittany Merlot will be here for Weather and Wine. And if you would like to text in your favorite Summerfest memory, please do at 855-752-4842. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just want to give a shout out to some of our winners in the Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Picking up Adele's prize package, Rose from Waukesha, Andy from Madison, the Brewers Club level seats, Charles from Rubicon, Brody from Richland Center, and our grand prize winners who get to select where they want to have their staycation, Tori in Kewaunee and Tammy in Baraboo. Hope you have a wonderful time and take pictures.
Take pictures.
And send them to us and tag us with them so we can see.
Pick the pontoon vacation.
Port Atkinson, pontoon boat, pontoon. All right, she joins us on Thursdays at this time for a little segment we call Weather and Wine. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. So what's going on in Wausau right now? You guys have really gotten a lot of rain.
We have. I mean, a lot of places have as well, but I mean, it is just cloudy, dreary. It's just been spitting showers on and off throughout the morning here, and that's going to be the case throughout today and this afternoon before we get hit hard tomorrow and Saturday. Yeah, central Wisconsin really looks like the target for some of the heaviest rain totals.
And it's still going to be steamy, too. It's not bad right now. We're 20 degrees cooler here in Waukesha than we were yesterday.
Isn't it weird?
Yes.
First day of summer, and
yeah,
we feel like spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Welcome to Wisconsin. This happens all the time.
It's whiplash weather. You know, it is. It just changes so rapidly. So it is, I mean, today is kind of the break in the heat, and then the heat is going to be back tomorrow. And is that what's going to be bringing these storms along?
Yeah. So what's happening right now is we have a high pressure system sitting over Lake Superior. We have those big building high pressure down into our southern states. So it's keeping that front right now just south of us, right into northern Illinois. So you can see the heat a little bit further south. That's going to be pushing in towards us through tomorrow. So now this is going to stay mainly towards the cities, Madison, Milwaukee, those areas. If you live up north where the rain's going to be and the cloud cover tomorrow, we are probably only going to see highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. So a big spread tomorrow statewide as that front starts to pull in. And yes, it's going to bring that humidity. It's going to bring some heat indices again for portions of Friday and even into Saturday, where it's going to be feeling like those low to mid 90s. Especially in Waukesha, sorry. But up north, we're going to hang away from a lot of that up until about Saturday afternoon. That's when it really peaks, and the cold front's going to slam into that. And then, of course, that severe thunderstorm risk as well. So all threats are headed our way, to be honest with you.
Lucky us.
I know.
Lucky just, us.
Yay.
And on the weekends.
Yeah. And then into next week, it looks like it's still going to be pretty hot.
Yes. So we actually see some sunshine and drier weather, thankfully, as soon as Sunday and into Monday. But right behind that, heat and humidity, right back at it, back to those upper 80s. So summer settling in for sure, taking over.
Well, today is the first day of Summerfest, Brittany, and we've been taking people's favorite Summerfest memories. Do you have one?
Oh, gosh, I haven't been to it in so long, but I do remember taking the motorcycle up from Illinois and going there and getting to see it. But I can't remember who played. There was so much going on.
Brittany Merlot, meteorologist, storm chaser, motorcycle enthusiast. Every time we talk to you, a little piece of your story comes to light to reveal you're the coolest person on earth.
Can I tell you what I did this weekend? Just wait. This is the coolest thing I've probably ever done so far. I was in an aerobatic plane. I wasn't flying it. I got to be a passenger, but oh my gosh, the adrenaline. I was inverted, flipped upside down, spins, all of that. So whew.
I got to do that once too, Brittany, and the barrel rolls and the you're heading straight towards the ground and then you do this big pullout. And
yep.
What I remember specifically about that was the pilot was really, really cute. And when we landed, I could feel myself turning green. I was literally turning green because I was so nauseated. And it's like, I'm not going to get sick in front of the cute pilot. I can't get sick in front of the cute pilot. So, and I wanted to stay and talk to him. And it's like, I know I can't. I have to leave because I'm going to go get sick. So I jump in my car and burn away from there and then pull over on the side of the road and get sick. But at least he didn't have to see
it. You know what I did this past weekend? I cleaned the garage and watched reruns of New Girl. So what's up, everybody? I party.
Terry from Cross Plains texting in, listening on WAUK. I saw George Carlin at Summerfest when he got arrested for saying the seven words.
1972, I believe.
John from Menominee Falls. My best Summerfest memory, getting to see Don Henley at the Marcus Amphitheater. My worst, passing on free tickets. My wife was offered to go see Tom Petty. Because I just don't like Tom Petty, and then finding out it was a doubleheader with Pearl Jam.
That's one concert I wish I would have gone to before he... I always said, he'll come back next year. He always comes
Tom
back.
Tom Petty? Oh. Yeah, I've heard he just put on spectacular shows.
Jane, what about you? You haven't given us your favorite memory.
When I was working for The Mix, we sponsored the Comedy Stage and for years.
Yeah.
And so every single night, one of us was there to introduce one of the comics. And I got to meet Tom Kenny. And if you are a SpongeBob SquarePants fan, that is Tom Kenny. So I got to meet Tom Kenny before he was SpongeBob SquarePants. One of the nicest, genuinely nice human beings from upstate New York. And he went on, you know, he was a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
And then he went on to, he had been living in L.A. for a long time. And I was just so delighted when he got SpongeBob because he's one of those people... Who deserves it? He was he was nasty to people. He didn't step all over people to get to where he was. He is just a good guy, and I can't think of it couldn't have happened to a nicer person.
Was he made of sponge and or were his pants square?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, we got Steve listening in Milwaukee. He said my favorite was Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder at Summerfest, and I was at Tom Petty and Eddie Vedder. Great show, but Petty did some great covers.
Another one. Oh, Pamela from WFHR. Summerfest memory, 1970 or so. Bobby Sherman.
Sherman. He's so cute.
1984, saw Al Jarreau with my boyfriend. The next year, that same weekend, Carl and I got married in Wisconsin Rapids, listening on WFHR. That is very, very cool. All right, we got to wrap things up. Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time. Stay cool up there, Brittany. Try and stay dry.
You guys stay cool, too. Thank you.
We will check in with you next week. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and to our engineers. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all to all of you for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. News is next, followed by the Todd Allbus Show. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.